Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Thousands of Durham students are out of school again today as staff continue to protest pay issues while have their latest demands.
Pack your bags. RDU is adding a new international airline just in time for your summer vacation.
And it looks like a beautiful day to be outside. Lots of sunshine. We'll see cool temperatures and bright skies until the end of the week. And then some rain is back in the forecast. I'll show you when to expect it.
For the second time in 2 weeks, thousands of Durham Public Schools students can't go to school. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Protests have closed 7 schools today, affecting about 5,000 children and teenagers. WRL's Monica Casey is live at today's protest downtown. Monica, quite a crowd behind you. What's happening right now?
Yeah, Renee, the number of students not in school today is about half of what it was last Wednesday, almost 5,000. But that is still so many families impacted. The Durham Association of Educators is leading this rally here today. They've been picketing, marching around the building. They just stopped here to take a quick break. This group has 3 demands. The first is to restore all salary steps and asking for no pay cuts in February's checks. The second demand is a public explanation of January's paychecks, and the third is a work session to meet and confer scheduled for next week. Classified staff are the ones impacted by these salary issues we've been covering for weeks, but these protests here include certified staff and even former employees here to show their support.
And I stand ground with them. I stand with them 100%, you know. We can't be treated like that. They up there and we're down here. It's like they're stepping on us, like crushing us, like, you know, so it's very unfairly.
The board met for a total of 7.5 hours last Friday. They had 2 closed sessions with an open session in between. There were 2 options on the table to deal with this salary issue, but they voted to table it for this Thursday's meeting. Many people who are here don't like either of those 2 options on the table that the board was considering. They want to keep their years of outside experience counting in their salary steps, and they want the pay raise that came with that salary study. Renee?
For everyone involved, hopefully they can find some kind of resolution as they talk through those options. Monica Casey, live in Durham.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we have an update to a story we brought you as breaking news earlier this morning. One person is dead after a crash on NC-22 in Chatham County. We have video from Sky 5. We've learned from police this afternoon just one vehicle and one pedestrian was involved in this. The pedestrian was walking on the northbound side of NC-22. A vehicle also traveling northbound struck the person. They died at the scene. The person that hit the pedestrian did stay at the scene and attempt to help them. The name of the person killed is not being released at this time. There are no charges. We'll stay on top of this and keep you updated.
This morning, the court appearance for the man charged in the deadly Apex shooting was continued. Harry Hardman was scheduled to have a disposition hearing today, but it was continued to next week. Hardman is accused of shooting and killing 2 people, his neighbors, outside his townhome last month. It's still not clear what motivated that shooting. Hardman is due in court February 12th. Soon you will be able to fly out of RDU to a new international destination. WRAL's Shelley Jackson is live at RDU to reveal another big announcement in a series of new flights from the airport. Shelley?
Well, Jeff, how does Panama sound to you? Pretty good, right? Copa Airlines will begin offering direct nonstop flights to Panama City, Panama, June 21st. And take a look at the board. That will bring the number of direct flights to international cities out of RDU to 10. Already we have Paris, Air France to Charles de Gaulle, and down here, Air Canada to Toronto. Now, if you haven't heard of Copa before, it's a member of the Star Alliance, and it's a flagship. The flagship airport is in Panama City. RDU says it has spent nearly 4 years recruiting the airline and felt that it would serve a growing need. 270 people a day are flying back and forth between Central and South America. Raleigh is COPA's 16th U.S. destination and joins the ranks of cities like Boston, Atlanta, and Chicago that are now serving Panama. And just about everyone will appreciate this. COPA is Latin America's most on-time airline, and they said the most on-time airline in all of the Americas, which travelers love to hear. Jeff?
Yeah, expanding horizons. All right, Shelley Jackson live at RDU this noon for us. Thank you.
Today, you can give your input on an affordable housing plan for Knightdale. The town is working with UNC Greensboro Center for Housing and Community Studies to create a plan to identify gaps in community housing and work on strategies to fix them. An open house is happening right now until 6 tonight at the Knightdale Town Hall building. Anyone can stop in to offer feedback.
For the next few days, there will be overnight ramp closures onto I-40 in Garner. The lane closure is from the ramp on U.S. 70 West to I-40 West, starting at 9 p.m., ending at 5 a.m. Last night was the first night of the closure, and weather permitting, the closure will happen each night through Wednesday, so crews there can conduct ground testing. It's part of the ongoing work to finish the I-540 project.
A new Meredith College poll shows frontrunners Josh Stein and Mark Robinson have commanding leads as they seek their party's nominations in the race for governor. That poll also suggests Stein may have an edge in the general election in November. WRL's Eric Miller joins us live outside the governor's mansion to break this all down for us. Eric.
Renee, that new poll digging into who the next resident is going to be at this house here on North Blunt Street. It was released in just the last 2 hours. It suggests if Stein and Robinson are indeed their party's nominees come November, Stein will actually have a slight edge, with 39% of voters choosing him compared to 35% choosing Robinson. This poll also says both Stein and Robinson, as you said, they have commanding leads, double-digit leads over their nearest competitors in this primary race, with just 2 weeks to go until early primary voting starts here in North Carolina. But of course, this race isn't over. More than half of Democrats polled and more than 40% of Republicans said they're still undecided in the primary contest. Still, Meredith College professor of political science David McLennan says it will be an uphill battle for any candidates trying to catch those two frontrunners.
We've seen some of the candidates, they're out on the trail, they're advertising. So, you know, we've not seen them make up any of that gap in 3 months now, so it's hard to imagine they will make it up in 4 weeks.
Now, this poll also looked at a potential rematch between President Biden and former President Trump come November. A very different story there, with former President Trump having the lead over President Biden, 44% to 39%, and far fewer undecided voters in that contest, Renee.
And 9 months to go until the general election. Eric Miller, live outside the governor's mansion.
U.S. forces launched new strikes against Iran-backed Houthi rebel missiles in Yemen. That's after the first wave of U.S. retaliatory strikes against Iran-backed militant targets in Iraq and Syria Friday night. Keir Simmons reports from Iraq.
Hey there, good day to you. And news of another deadly drone strike by the militia, the Iranian-backed militia, targeted by the U.S. just over the weekend. Kurdish forces, who are backed by the U.S., saying that six of their, quote, commando fighters have been killed in a base in eastern Syria. That news coming after that operation on Friday night to target those Iranian-backed militia in Syria and here in Iraq. According to the Pentagon, 84 of 85 targets were either destroyed or damaged. We wait for a fuller damage report from the U.S. But then on Saturday night, another operation, separate, the U.S. says, likely they're saying that to protect the coalition of countries that were involved in this. This was 36 strikes against 13 targets in Yemen against those Houthis who've been disrupting shipping in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. And even so, 24 hours later, the Houthis today issuing another defiant statement saying that they have the capability to keep defending Yemen, as they say, and challenging their enemies. So as Secretary Blinken, the Secretary of State, flies into the region for another tour, visiting countries including Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Egypt, Israel, and the West Bank, more troubling challenges for the Biden administration.
That's Keir Simmons reporting from Iraq. Trucks carrying supplies entered into the southern Gaza Strip today despite a recent UN scandal. The aid is much needed for Gaza, which now has half of its population in Rafah and the surrounding areas. It comes as some countries have paused donor funds to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency due to allegations some of its workers were complicit in the October 7th attacks led by Hamas against Israel.
The Federal Reserve not ready to call victory over inflation just yet. Take a look. The Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeting about 300 points at this hour. S&P 500 also in the red, down 20 points. NASDAQ down 60 points.
Next at noon, a harrowing bus ride through wildfires in Chile. The state of emergency for that country with 100 people already confirmed dead.
Also, it is game week for the Super Bowl. The preparations in Vegas involving Homeland Security. Elizabeth.
And it's a little breezy out there. We have winds gusting out of the north at about 20 to 25 miles per hour, especially in our southern counties. That can mean high fire danger. I'll show you what you need to know about that coming up.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, following some breaking news, First National Bank will pay the state of North Carolina $13.5 million for anti-Black and Hispanic discrimination. State and federal officials said Black and Hispanic people in two of North Carolina's biggest cities faced racially motivated discrimination when trying to apply for a mortgage. A First National Bank spokesperson has said the problems did not start with First National Bank, and they will be releasing a statement. It's also important to note that North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein says that they aided in this investigation. Stein said, "We are making it easier for everyone to have a fair shot at a better future. The doors of opportunity must be open to all in North Carolina."
Michelle, thanks. More than 100 people are dead as wildfires rage throughout Chile. Take a look at this video of a bus full of passengers driving through the smoke and ash of one of the fires tearing through the country. More than 90 active fires are burning. More than 1,300 homes have been destroyed. Evacuations are in effect in several regions. Chile's president declared a state of emergency.
A new production line problem is discovered on Boeing 737 MAX planes. In a memo to employees, it was revealed a supplier had misdrilled holes in the fuselages. The discovery means about 50 undelivered MAX jets may need to be reworked before being released. Boeing says the finding does not pose any immediate flight safety issues. It comes as a federal investigation into Alaska Airlines' door plug blowout mid-flight on a 737 MAX last month continues. Rapper and social activist Killer Mike is out of jail after being charged with one misdemeanor count of battery. That's according to the Los Angeles Sheriff's Office. The arrest happened the same night the artist won three Grammys last night. Killer Mike is due back in court February 29th. The information from officials refers to him by his legal name, Michael Render. Killer Mike's representatives did not immediately return a request for comment.
The Super Bowl teams have touched down in Las Vegas to get ready for NFL's biggest game. The Chiefs and 49ers will be practicing there throughout the week, as well as meeting with media and participating in other events. Super Bowl is this Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. This will be the first time the Super Bowl has been held in Las Vegas and the second Super Bowl between the Chiefs and 49ers.
Also, Renee, the Department of Homeland Security is amping up its presence in Las Vegas ahead of the big game. Dennis Roach gives us a closer look.
It's become the photo op on Fremont Street. Football fans gathering with predictions for Super Bowl 58. Whether it's San Francisco.
I think they're going to take it this year. Definitely get the revenge
game. Bang, bang.
Or Kansas City.
I think the Chiefs are the better team, but we'll see. It'll be a really good game.
Last team with the ball.
But along with the excitement comes a serious job.
Good boy, buddy. Good boy.
K9 teams with Protective Force International working to keep the pedestrian mall safe.
We're a very specialized unit that augments existing security.
Owner Jonathan Alvarez says from now through Super Bowl Sunday, it's all hands on deck.
F1 was condensed to the strip, right? So all of our resources were there. Now the Super Bowl, everyone is celebrating. So there's just teams spread out throughout the whole valley.
We are so prepared. We've been waiting for this moment for years.
Andrew Simon is CEO of the Fremont Street Experience, who says along with Protective Force International, a new substation on Fremont Street houses both Metro Police and City Marshals, with downtown planning three full nights of free concerts leading up to the Super Bowl. Security will be tight.
It's probably going to be the first of many. After we do one, they're going to want to come back.
Good boy. This is my best friend. This is my partner. He does not leave my side whatsoever.
And Protective Force will be on so many properties, Alvarez says he's hiring.
We are looking for military and ex-law enforcement professionals, National Guardsmen, reservists.
Working quietly behind the scenes so football fans can simply focus on the game.
I just want a good game. When you don't have a horse in the race, just give you a good game.
Be safe doing so. That was Denise Roche reporting.
Some people in Santa Barbara have evacuated their homes due to flooding in California. Most of Santa Barbara County was under a flash flood warning yesterday as heavy rain drenched the region and caused major flooding. Strong winds brought down trees into homes, across roads and onto power lines, causing outages in many areas. California's governor issued a state of emergency in several counties. Santa Barbara Airport is currently closed due to flooding. All flights canceled until further notice.
PGA Tour was playing in Pebble Beach. Had to cancel yesterday and ultimately canceled today because state of emergency, just too dangerous for folks to get there.
What a mess that they're facing. Totally.
Elizabeth Gardner is over in the WRN Severe Weather Center right now. In contrast, we have dry skies all week.
We do. Yeah, we're looking good. This is a live look at Apex. We did have a little bit of cloud cover earlier this morning. Most of that's dissipating or shifting southward. It's associated with a low that's moving down into the Gulf of Mexico and pulling away from us. It's a little bit breezy as that low moves away, and that'll be the case again tomorrow. And we do have high fire danger for tomorrow. It's a subtle difference between today and tomorrow. So, you know, if you can put off outdoor burning today or tomorrow, that would be a good idea. Our dew point's way down at 25. Again, this number is a measure of moisture in the atmosphere, and the lower the number, the drier it is. So that's a pretty dry dew point for our temperature to be at 53. Well, likely, you know, give it another 3 or 4 degrees by the middle of the afternoon up to around 56 or 57. Our wind is coming out of the north-northeast. It's steady at 14 in Durham and Raleigh, 15 in Fayetteville, 10 in Goldsboro. We're gusting anywhere from 18 to 23 miles per hour. I would expect the winds to die down a little tonight, but get cranked back up again for tomorrow. This is a look at the satellite view. And down around Fayetteville, Clinton, parts of Hope County, even parts of the southern half of Moore County, seeing some of that lingering cloud cover. But for the most part, we're really starting to clear things out. We'll take a look at the big picture. Again, you can see where the clouds are. We widen out. The low itself is way down in Florida, and it continues to push this way, and it'll head off to the south and east, taking those clouds with it. There is some rain in South Carolina, but we have not seen any rain in our viewing area, and we're not expecting to out of the system. Our temperatures, for the most part, walking out the door in the low to mid-50s right now, with the exception of Southern Pines at 48. That could be because of a little cloud cover that's sitting there right now. 57, the high in Raleigh and in Durham. We'll see a high 59 this afternoon in Fayetteville. Again, we do have that wind coming out of the north and northeast, keeping our temperatures right around normal. We take a look at our normal versus above normal and below normal. Below normal there in blue and above normal in yellow, and then way above normal in pink up to the north. We're going to stay on the normal to below normal side through Thursday, and then we start to see some of that warmer air sneaking in. We'll feel it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and potentially all the way into maybe Valentine's Day next week. 54 is our normal high, so we'll be up and down near that all the way through Thursday. And then we jump to 62 on Friday, and we're looking at some 60s in the forecast over the weekend. From the 10th, which is Saturday, all the way through February 14th, the middle of next week, we have the potential for above normal temperatures. But there is some indication that that may move on off, and we may see some cooler temperatures for the second half of February. You know, we haven't seen any snow yet. We'll see. We haven't come even close to it yet. So I don't know. Winter is ticking down, that's for sure. Notice we have rain in the forecast here for Saturday. We could see rain Saturday or Sunday. We're watching the computer models right now. We'll go through that and talk about what some of the different scenarios could be for the weekend coming up in just a bit.
Certainly just rain with those highs and lows. Elizabeth, thank you.
More people are dying prematurely in North Carolina. A big reason why is cardiovascular issues. This is Heart Health Month, and we're looking into what you need to keep an eye out for at 4.
Also, former NC State students and staff are feeling frustrated as they demand answers about the dangers of Poe Residence Hall's toxic chemicals. Five on Your Side tracked down dozens of people diagnosed with cancer linked back to Poe Hall. We share some of their stories at 6. Plus, still ahead this noon, return to office mandates are expected to rise this year. We'll take a closer look at why big companies are having little success with their return to office initiatives. That's coming up.
And the countdown to Super Bowl 58 is on. We'll explain how drinking can influence your parenting style during football's biggest night, coming up.
And a live look at those blue skies over Durham right now, the American Tobacco campus right there in the background with DBAP in the foreground. You see the stands right there as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. If you're waiting for interest rates to drop before buying that house or car, you might have to wait a little longer. But if you want a Shamrock Shake, you're in luck today. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
The Fed confirms that interest rate cuts are coming this year, but at a slower pace than the market expects. In a 60 Minutes interview Sunday, Chairman Jerome Powell expressed confidence in the economy, but he cautioned that he'd like to see more evidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%. He added that the central bank will most likely not make the first rate cut at its March meeting, which Wall Street had been anticipating, saying he'll give an update at that time. Right now, the benchmark interest rate sits between 5.25% and 5.5%. Return to office mandates are expected to rise this year, but so too may be the number of workers switching jobs to chase flexibility. A resume builder poll of 800 business leaders in December found that 8 in 10 companies will track employee office attendance in 2024, with a whopping 95% of respondents saying employees will suffer consequences like job termination if they don't comply. That approach could be problematic. A recent flex job poll found that 56% of survey takers know someone who quit a job or plan to soon over return to office mandates. The same survey found that 63% are willing to accept a pay cut in order to keep working remotely. McDonald's classic Shamrock Shake is back on the menu, and it's bringing a new friend along. The seasonal St. Patrick's Day themed mint drink officially arrives in stores today, along with the debut of the Oreo Shamrock McFlurry, featuring crushed Oreos throughout. If you've never had one of the green Shamrock Shake concoctions, it's blended vanilla soft serve ice cream and mint syrup topped with whipped cream. You can grab both green treats at your local McDonald's now through late March. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Target is pulling a Black History item that misidentified some civil rights leaders. A U.S. history teacher in Nevada brought the mistakes to light after buying the activity books for a classroom. The book mixes up the names and images of Carter G. Woodson, a pioneer of African-American studies, author and activist W.E.B. Du Bois, and Booker T. Washington, who was the first president of what is now Tuskegee University. Target said it alerted the publisher to the errors. The publisher's website lists Amazon, Dollar General, and Walmart among its other retail partners.
Estee Lauder plans to lay off up to 5% of its workforce. That's more than 3,000 positions. The beauty giant has been struggling with weak demand in Asia. The company had about 62,000 employees worldwide as of June 2023. Luxury brands, though, have been seeing disappointing sales in China.
There's a proposed border deal now in the U.S. Senate. Still to come, how it would change immigration law and its chances of passing.
Also coming up, the Poor People's Campaign launching an initiative to get more low-income people to the polls. We'll break down this story by the numbers when we come back.
And here are our winning NC Education Lottery numbers on your screen.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
The 2024 campaign season is well underway, and today the Poor People's Campaign announced a major initiative to get voters to the polls for the primaries and general election.
WRAL's Ken Smith listened in on the news conference a short time ago. He joins us now with the strategies announced. Ken.
Renee and Jeff, leaders with the Poor People's Campaign pointed out this morning in 2024, the election is all about mobilization. The group is led by former state NAACP President Reverend William Barber. He and his Poor People campaign campaign team believe the success of this year's election, particularly for president, will boil down to which party gets its voters to the polls. A pollster at today's news conference broke down the numbers of low-income people who are projected not to vote in North Carolina this election cycle.
In North Carolina, we lost by 74,000 votes, 480,000 low-income families projected not to vote in 2024.
Lake and Reverend Barber and others believe mobilizing this voting bloc can make a huge difference in the outcome of elections this year. Now, key issues in this election cycle for the Poor People's Campaign include Medicaid expansion, child tax credits, and raising the minimum wage. Circle these dates, March 2nd and June 15th. The plan is to mobilize and encourage at least 15 million low-income people to get out to vote. Renee?
Ken, thank you.
Raleigh council members are expected to vote this week on restoring city support of the Citizen Advisory Council. City Council blindsided Citizen Advisory Council members by voting to disband that group in 2020. It came decades after the neighborhood groups were started to get more people involved in the city's future. Raleigh Citizen Advisory Council says it's confident at least five council members will vote to restore that support during the afternoon city council meeting tomorrow.
Helping at-risk youth and learning more about what it takes to become a foster parent. Our County Back County coverage takes us to Cumberland and Sampson counties. First to Cumberland County, where you have a little under 5 hours left to submit your proposal for the county's Juvenile Crime Prevention Council programs. The deadline is 5 p.m. Leaders are looking for your ideas on ways to better serve delinquent or at-risk youth. This would be for the 2024 and 2025 fiscal years. You can submit yours on the county's website.
Sampson County is helping couples become foster parents. Tomorrow, the county's Department of Social Services will hold a foster parent information session. It'll be from 6 to 7 p.m. in the DSS lobby. You'll learn more about the role of becoming a foster parent, who can be one, the licensing process, and have the chance to have all your other questions answered. An investigation is underway after three people were found dead in a motel room in Durham. It happened at the Extended Stay America off South Miami Boulevard. A cardiac arrest call came in around 10 Sunday morning. A fourth man was taken to the hospital in critical condition. Foul play is not suspected.
Senators on Capitol Hill have finally released the long-awaited border bill aimed at tackling illegal immigration. But the reality of it becoming law is a long shot. Rebecca Castor explains what lawmakers don't like about the deal.
After historic numbers of illegal crossings at the southern border, the Senate's bipartisan border bill aims to gain control of an outdated asylum system.
Changes the asylum laws, builds more wall, adds more detention beds, adds more deportation flights, changes this 10-year backlog that we're currently in now to weeks before people are actually deported. That's what the bill really does.
The proposal took months to negotiate. President Biden says he'll sign it, but the reality of the bill getting to his desk is a long shot.
This doesn't resemble H.R. 2 that we passed out of the House. Very little, if any, of what we passed in the House is in the Senate bill.
The main point of contention for some Republicans is a measure that would force the Biden administration to shut down the border after 7 days of 5,000 migrant encounters per day.
Some people are thinking that this is somehow like counting 5,000 people in every day and releasing them. That's absurd.
Anything short of shutting down the border, shutting down free hotel rooms, shutting down free credit cards for illegal aliens that are coming into this country, anything short of that is going to have problems in the House.
And that's why House Speaker Mike Johnson calls the bill dead on arrival in the House. GOP lawmakers are also pushing forward with their efforts to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, and that's where we are.
That was Rebecca Kester reporting. The bill also unlocks billions in emergency aid for Ukraine and Israel. But with it unlikely to pass, the House is expected to vote on a standalone package for Israel this week.
At least 17,000 children in Gaza have been orphaned or separated from their parents since the Israel-Hamas war began. That's according to UNICEF. The agency says nearly all children in Gaza, more than a million of them, need mental health and psychological support. UNICEF says children are suffering from high levels of anxiety, panic, inability to sleep, and loss of appetite. They're also having emotional outbursts when they hear those bombings and airstrikes.
Okay, parents, this Super Bowl Sunday, watch your behavior. New research about why parents are more likely to lose patience with their kids during the big game and the common denominator that has parents acting out.
Plus, why you'll want to avoid using AI apps as your health coach, the danger in relying on them. Our team is working to bring you exclusive stories. For coverage you'll find only on WRAL, visit WRAL.com and search only. Countdown is on for football's biggest night as the Kansas City Chiefs get ready to kick it off with the San Francisco 49ers in Las Vegas. But there's a story going on off the field.
Marianne Rafferty gives us a look at a new study that sheds light about how some parents may behave around their kids while they drink on Super Bowl Sunday. From wings to pizza and subs and nachos, it's almost time to dig into some Super Bowl classics. And for those of legal age, that can also mean cracking open a cold one and enjoying some alcohol. But according to a recent study from the Ohio State University, parents who indulge in some booze during Sunday's big game may need to be mindful about how they interact with their kids throughout the night.
One of the big things that we found is that parents who were drinking on the day of the Super Bowl were much more likely to use aggressive discipline with their children on that same day and during the same time period that they were drinking.
It is clear and cool this noon as you take a live look from our WRL Live Cam Network. Fenton in Cary right there. Just a few more days left of that ice for you to get out and skate. Students taking their SATs will now be able to take the test online. Starting next month, the College Board's exam is going digital. It's not the only thing that's different about the test. The testing time has been cut from 3 hours to 2, and students can choose between a tablet or a laptop. Also, the College Board says the new version is adaptive. Questions will change depending on how the student performs as the test progresses.
Infant mortality remains a concern in the U.S. Data shows the infant mortality rate rose in 2022 by 3%. That's the first increase in two decades. Overall, black babies still experience the highest rate of infant mortality. There are many contributing factors, like an increase in chronic health conditions before pregnancy. Some women also don't have consistent prenatal care to help diagnose congenital conditions. Dr. Tosin Goji is an OBGYN at the Cleveland Clinic. She says the lack of access to resources also plays a role.
We can't talk about infant mortality rate and racial disparities without talking about structural racism, social determinants of poor health outcomes, like where someone resides, lack of transportation, food insecurity.
Dr. Goji adds that women should address any pre-existing health conditions with their primary care doctor. She also encourages those wanting to start a family to ask about available resources.
Are artificial intelligence apps for diet and nutrition good for you? Health experts say for now you may want to pass. With more apps hitting the market that claim AI can be your diet or nutrition coach, some health advocates are emphasizing you still need human input. This is especially true for people who have ongoing medical conditions or disorders. Although AI apps can help with monitoring food intake and portion sizes, it is best to continue getting professional advice from an expert.
The FDA is announcing a hummus recall that could pose a potentially life-threatening allergy risk to some people. Wegmans Harris hummus, topped with harissa made by Summer Fresh Salads, is being pulled from shelves over a label error that leaves off the presence of sesame. It was sold in many Wegmans located throughout the North and Southeast over the past couple of weeks. So far, no illnesses have been reported, but if you have it and you have an allergy, you don't want to eat it. A full list of states and product details can be found at FDA.gov.
Not quite a lunch outside afternoon, but it certainly is sunny and nice out.
Oh, it's so nice to see the sunshine and the blue skies. It is pretty no matter where you look on our WRL Live Cam Network. Elizabeth, such a gorgeous day and
Nice to be normal.
Exactly. Right. Nice afternoon for a walk, you know, brisk little walk, get outside, enjoy some of the sunshine. But we'll see it for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Then we'll start to see the clouds thickening up on Friday. Warmer temperatures arrive, but so does some rain. And we're going to walk through that for you over the next couple of minutes. A live look at Goldsboro and Apex Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. And of course, right there at our newsroom in Fayetteville, all is looking good. Not so good. Beginning of the newscast, we talked a lot about California and the flooding that they're seeing there, especially down here in Southern California around the Los Angeles area. The low itself that's bringing the rain is moving on up into the Pacific Northwest. But this is an unusual pattern. It's an El Nino pattern. Typically, when we see these rivers of moisture coming off the Pacific, usually they make landfall up around, say, Washington or Oregon. And that particular ecosystem is much more designed to be able to handle all of that rain. Down in Southern California, it's fairly dry, desert, and all this rain creates mudslides, flooding, and some major problems. So that will continue through tomorrow, and then it looks like that will move on off. But you can see they have an extreme risk for flooding. Flooding is ongoing in that area. All total, by the time it's done, probably 10 to 15 inches. And we know that what that can do here, but we're even better designed to handle that kind of rainfall than folks are in Southern California. That system eventually makes its way in our direction, but it won't look anything like that by the time it reaches us. We're watching the computer models. Some of them want to bring us rain by Saturday morning. Others don't bring it in until Sunday, so we're just watching that very closely. We have some breezy conditions thanks to that low that's down to our south right now and the high that's up to the north. Both of those will be moving away from us, but they're bringing us some breezy conditions. The closer you have a low and a high together, the bigger the pressure gradient. The difference between pressure creates windy conditions because the winds rush from the high to the low. The closer they are together, the stronger that force is, sort of like putting two magnets together. It works in that way. But as the two of those move off, our winds will start to diminish a little bit for Wednesday. We'll see some gusts this afternoon and tomorrow up to around 25 miles per hour out of the north, northeast at about 15 steady. Fire danger for tomorrow. We're going to see low humidity and the breezy conditions, dry conditions out there. So our southern counties have high fire danger for tomorrow. But honestly, anywhere you are today or tomorrow, it'd be best to put off any outdoor burning for a few days. We should start to see our humidity climbing a little bit by Thursday and Friday, and then the chance of some showers on Saturday and Sunday with the warmer temperatures should make it a little safer. We have some cold mornings ahead. It was chilly this morning, mostly mid-30s. Tomorrow morning, 32, 29 Wednesday morning, 28 Thursday morning, and then we start to see that warm up. Again, we're just kind of watching the weekend. Be on the lookout for the potential for some rain, and as we get a little closer to the weekend, we'll be fine-tuning that as we have more runs of the computer models coming in.
Run of sunshine until then. Thanks, Elizabeth. Lego will journey to Paris this year for its latest creation. We'll reveal the new architecture line launching this summer straight ahead.
Welcome back. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we are following today. For the second time in 2 weeks, thousands of Durham Public School students cannot go to school. Protests have closed these seven schools today, affecting about 5,000 children and teens. The Durham Association of Educators is demanding the district to restore all salary steps and no pay cuts in February paychecks.
RDU will soon offer direct flights to Panama City, Panama. Copa Airlines is the latest international airline to offer flights from the airport. Flights will start taking off June 21st of this year. Travelers can make the trip on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Copa will become RDU's 18th airline, and Panama City will be its 10th international destination.
A new Meredith College poll shows frontrunners Josh Stein and Mark Robinson have commanding leads as they seek their party's nominations in the race for governor. That poll also suggests Stein may have an edge in the general election in November. More than half of Democrats polled and more than 40% of Republicans say they are still undecided in the primary contest.
Exciting soccer news here. We now know New Jersey will be host of the final game of the 2026 World Cup. Soccer's governing body made that announcement Sunday. The U.S., Mexico, and Canada will all be co-hosts of the tournament. The final will be played at MetLife Stadium. That's the home for the New York Giants and New York Jets football teams. 39-day soccer tournament will open with a game in Mexico City. It was a touching moment at the Grammys as Celine Dion made a surprise appearance on stage. She came out at the end of the night to a roaring applause. Dion has been mostly out of the public eye as she focuses on her health after she was diagnosed with stiff person syndrome. She presented the award for Album of the Year, which went to Taylor Swift for Midnight.
Taylor Swift had a big night at the Grammys, and she left fans buzzing about what's coming next. In her acceptance speech for her first award, Best Pop Vocal Album, she announced her next album. It will be called the Tortured Poets Department. Here is a preview of that cover, and it will be coming out on April 19th.
Fantasia wowed at the Grammys with her performance in memory of Tina Turner. That's so great. The High Point native brought the house down with her performance of Proud Mary as part of the show's In Memoriam segment.
That was the same song she sang for her American Idol audition. Miley Cyrus won her first Grammy for the song Flowers, but she wasn't happy with the audience during her live performance. She even called the crowd out for not being into it enough. Take a listen.
Write my name in the sand. Why are you acting like you don't know this song?
Miley seemed to think that they weren't enjoying themselves as she sang the song that went on to win a record of the year. Yeah, one of the summer's biggest hits. By the end, though, Taylor Swift, Kylie Minogue, and Oprah, among others, were all rocking out and mouthing the words. Yeah, they know the words. Lego may be honoring an architectural marvel with its own set. Reports say the toy company is planning to unveil a replica of the Notre Dame Cathedral located in Paris. The set will contain 4,300 bricks. It will cost about $230. It will be one of the largest sets ever released in Lego's architectural collection. The Lego set will reportedly be released in June.
I imagine that's going to be a tough one to put together. Our pet of the day is calm, friendly, affectionate little kitty who gets along well with cats of all ages. 10-month-old Nutmeg right there is a snuggly girl who enjoys human interaction, along with hanging out on the cat tree when not playing. She came to Purr Partners after a dog bite, but is completely recovered now, except for not being a real big dog fan anymore. Read about this beauty and other cats ready for adoption at purrpartners.org.
Such a beautiful day out there. You'll make sure you want to get out and enjoy the sunshine. Even though it won't be that warm, it will be normal temperatures for a while.
A brisk walk.
It will be pleasant. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great Monday.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.